I got to thinking, which is always bad, huh? I got to thinking. There are things that we as Christians sometimes take for granted that everyone knows. There are times I think we need to take a refresher course and go back through what we know or should know and revisit it and make sure that it's solidified in our brain. And last Sunday, after I gave the service, I started thinking about, you know, what am I going to do this Sunday? And one of the verses stood out to me. Matthew 4:7, that we read last Sunday, says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that kind of stuck with me. And we have all heard the phrase, God does not tempt us, but he does test us. What are testing and temptation? Do you know the difference? Can you explain the difference? That's what we're going to look at today, the difference in testing and temptation. What is temptation? Let me begin by defining it. It's the pressure to give in to ungodly influences that lead you away from God and into sin. That is temptation. It is not a sin to be tempted. It is succumbing to the temptation that causes us to sin. For example, you have a thought. That thought, you have a choice of what to do with it. You can focus on it and think about it. And you can go down like, well, I could do that. You have crossed the line. When a temptation comes into your mind, you need to be disciplined to not focus on that. The temptation in itself is not a sin. It's the thought process that follows it. So if I decide I want to do something and I make a list and make a plan, I have crossed that line into sin. But just having the thought is not a problem. The Bible teaches that all people will be tempted. We are given many examples of people who have been tempted and have given in. Let's see, how did Adam and Eve do? How did Esau do? Not very good. How about David with Bathsheba? Not very good. These are people that had a thought and followed through on it. Temptation comes from all places, but not God. And that's one thing we have to learn about, that when we use words in a Christian context, we have to be careful how we use them, because people who aren't Christians are listening to us, or people that are lesser, not as strong Christians. Temptation does not come from God. You can never say God is tempting me. Never. Where do temptations come from? Some come from myself. James 1:14-15 says that after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to Jesus, to death. Sometimes I'm tempted. Me. I do it. I'm tempted. So I have to be disciplined in my thought process. I am the most undisciplined person in the world. But I have to be disciplined in my thought process. I'll give an example. I was watching this comedian on YouTube. And I watched him a couple times. Absolutely hysterical. I loved him. But his language was foul. And before I knew it, those sentences were passing through my brain. And I thought, I have got to stop this. Because this is me allowing myself to be tempted by what I put in. Okay? Yes, I have to be careful. Sometimes temptation comes from other people. One of my favorite verses. How many people have their Bibles here today? Good, we're getting there. We're getting there. Bring your Bible. Bring a pencil, something to write in it. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners, take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. This is a step-by-step warning of how we go down a bad path of sin and temptation. It says, blessed are the wicked, blessed you don't follow, stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. So, for example, there's a group of people. Now, I kind of know what they're doing, but I want to get closer. I want to hear what they're doing. I want to be able to see what they're doing. Then I get closer, and I sit, and I get comfortable with what they're doing. That gives way to death. You can't do that. You need to be aware, and you need to avoid anything that could possibly lead to a temptation. And while most of our temptation will come from ourselves or where places where we put ourselves, there are times when we are tempted by Satan or one of his followers. How many places can Satan be at one time? Now, he has demons. The chances are I am not being tempted by Satan. Probably one of his demons. Sometimes we give Satan too much power. Well, Satan did this. Well, probably wasn't Satan. Perhaps one of his demons. So I think we need to lessen the power we give Satan. We see the kind of temptation from Satan. These were Satan himself in the Bible. Adam and Eve. Yeah, they were directly tempted by Satan. They did not handle it well. Job was tempted. Job did a wonderful job. He had friends. He had lots of friends. He did not have good friends. But Job stood strong with the word and what he knew. Last week we talked about Jesus and his temptation. And we could look at some time at Paul and his temptation. There is victory over temptation for us as Christians. Again, temptation itself is not sin. It's when you begin the action towards it and you surrender yourself to that action. Sin is when you give in. The Bible challenges followers of Jesus to resist temptation and give us what we need to overcome the temptations we face. Everyone will face difficult times when they are tempted. One might be tempted to steal. Another might be a desire to do other things. And they might be desired to have foul language. But the Bible says in Romans 8:37, and if you write in your Bible, highlight this one. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Can you deal with temptation? If you want to, I will say that there's sometime temptation comes, and that temptation might look pretty good. But we have to be faithful to God in how we deal with temptation. And we have the power because we are more than conquerors. How about James? Another good verse. Chapter 1, 12. Some of Jimmy Stump's favorite reading is in James. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Endure those trials. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We have to see ourselves as we really are. In this world, we can conquer the temptation. We can do it because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible offers some suggestions of how to resist temptation. The first one is prayer. Spend time in prayer. Make it a priority. This is probably one of the things I need to focus more on myself. Prayer. Set time apart. If you can't discipline yourself for so long, read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible is the second one. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Because you have to know it to know what is temptation and have the answers. The third practical suggestion, as we said, I'm not real good at right now, is personal discipline. You have got to be disciplined. And I think we live in the most undisciplined generation of all time. We have got to model discipline for those younger than us and those around us. Discipline. If you are tempted, he gives you all you need to endure it or escape it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here's another good verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken hold of you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. But with the temptation will also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, let me add this. If you decide that temptation looks really good, and then you pray for God to get you out, you are still burdened by the consequences of the fact that you did it. I remember years ago, when Dennis and I were doing camp, and a junior high girl came up to us and said she was pregnant. And she said, why did God let this happen to me? Well, it wasn't God. She had been tempted. She followed through on the temptation, and the consequences were that she had gotten pregnant. So remember that. You have temptation that has consequences. There is no temptation that doesn't have consequences with it. And you will have to deal with those. Okay, what is testing? Again, this testing, let's start with the definition. Martin H. Manser defines testing this way: the means through which the genuineness of faith is proved and Christian character is developed. God promises to help his people during times of testing. And he goes on to say, God allows his people to pass through certain experiences so that he may see and prove to them that their faith in him is genuine. We know for sure that God allows our faith to be tested. But this is not the same thing as temptation. When my mother died, and we were going through her Bible, and I wish I had it, I had bookmarks made of the things she said. But she said in her Bible, she wrote in the edges, thank you, God, for allowing me to endure this. Now, if you don't know, my mother had bone cancer. When she died, her x-rays looked like Swiss cheese. Every bone was broken except for one. And that's the first one they put a rod in. And she thanked God because through that, She learned to rely on God. She turned her focus on God, and she had become very close to Him. Testing grows our character as followers of Jesus. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experiences produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. Consider it nothing but joy. I've been through some trials, some testing. Recently, a great deal of testing. And while I can't say that it was joy, I can say that God taught me to focus on Him. And God has brought me closer to Him. God has taught me a way of looking at faith that I didn't know before. And that testing is important. And it seems contrary to our human minds. We are being tested because God wants us to be closer to Him. But there's this Christ-shaped mold that God is trying to squish us into. We are supposed to try to be more like Jesus. And that's what testing does. Makes us more like Jesus. Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will listen and answer them. And I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. How does gold and silver get refined? It goes through the fire. It gets hot. And all the impurities are burned away. And that's what trials do. Trials make us more like Jesus, and the impurities are shed. Examples of God's testing. Abraham is told to sacrifice Isaac. That's one I'll never understand. I've had a lot of people explain it to me. It's still hard to grasp. But we know that Abraham followed God's direction. God tested Israel in the desert. How'd they do? Think quail. They had quail till it was coming out their ears. God reduces Gideon's army. If you haven't read that story, Gideon is a man of faith. Again, Job. How about Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're being tossed in the fire. I doubt they were saying, this is the trial I wanted. Here we go. But they had the firm foundation to know that whatever trial came their way, God would see them through it. Jesus delays going to Bethany when Lazarus dies. Of course, the apostles, we can go on and on, Stephen, Paul, they were all tested. And we see their faith grow. We see the result of that. And dear church, there are people going through these testings and trials right now. I know it, right here in our congregation. People are being led through trials. We have to encourage each other how these trials are happening and how to come out on the other side. We have to help people be strong. While we aren't ever certain how the testings will come, we know they will come. they will absolutely come. Difficult situations such as illnesses, loss, financial struggle can serve as tests to assess resilience and reliance on faith. Moral dilemmas. Situations that challenge ethical beliefs or require difficult choices can test integrity and commit to values. I work in the United Church of Christ. Has anybody ever heard of them? They are as left as you can get on the church barometer out there. And I have to sign a form every year that is a statement of disclosure. And it has all these things, you know. You won't talk against them. You want this, you want that. It's a one-page document. You sign it at the bottom, and the personnel committee accepts it. Mine is several pages long because I've inserted all these things. I am a pastor who does not agree with the United Church of Christ philosophy. I will at times speak against it. And every year, that document has to go to the personnel committee, and they decide whether they will accept it. It's a moral dilemma. Have a job and go straight along with it, or document how my values stand as a Christian. You might have other moral dilemmas. There are lots of examples I could think of. Here's one. Here's a testing you haven't thought of, or we haven't talked of. But I'm thinking we have all experienced it. Spiritual dryness. Periods of feeling distant from God or lacking spiritual fulfillment can test perseverance in faith and prayer practices. Do you get tired of being a Christian? Just tired of things going wrong. Just tired, like you're not hearing from God. That could be a time of testing. Do you still read your Bible through it? Do you still pray? Do you still do the things you need to do? Dryness. Whether it's through difficult circumstances, discouraging people. Have you ever been discouraged by people? I think we were just having that conversation this morning. Persecution. Every believer will one day face a test of faith. Are you ready for it? It will come. God makes several promises concerning our testing. Luke 22, verses 31 through 32, another good one. Simon Peter, listen. Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. But I, this is Jesus talking, have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and confidence in me may not fail, and you, once you have turned back again to me, strengthen and support your brothers in the faith. Jesus is talking there. But I have prayed for you. Who's he praying for? Every one of us. Jesus prayed for us. Man, you talk about strengthening and encouraging. Jesus prayed for us. Another verse. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience, this is James 1, 2, and 4. Man, I'm reading a lot out of James today, huh? It's a good book. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance will have its full effect, that you may become mature and complete, lacking in nothing. In the United States of America, we have an immature church. We have, oh gosh, get me in trouble, kind of a wimpy church. We have a church that's more focused on feelings and stirring up those spiritual feelings than a depth that times of prayer bring, and the times of one-on-one conversations and ministry, the times of reading your Bible with somebody. We need to learn endurance. So what can we say? Temptations come from ungodly sources and are designed to cause believers to fall away from their relationship with God. Temptations come from ungodly sources. Never say, God is tempting me. Never. He cannot tempt you. Trials, testings, on the other hand, come from God. And they are designed to help you or show you your dependence on God, as well as bring you closer to Him. So can God test you? Absolutely. So be careful what you say, how you present your difficult times. Times are difficult. Christian, trials come. Of course, temptations come too. But again, we have to be prepared to handle them in a godly manner. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so very much for your word and your explanation. Help us to understand the difference between temptations and testing. Help us, Lord, to understand times in our lives when things happen. Are they trials or are they temptations? Again, if they're trying to take us away from you, we know they're temptations and evil. But if they're trials, Lord, help us to embrace them as something that is going to bring us closer to you. Lord, we just thank you and bless you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to stand.